Romans 14. Still cranking out our section on liberty here. Last week, we went through the appeal of Paul as he's talking about our responsibility with these types of things. Even though the subject matter of liberty are things that we're not supposed to get all worked up in a bunch about with each other, the way that we treat each other in regard to these things is something that's pretty important, because he makes mention of the fact that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. So if we're judging people or looking upon them with contempt for areas of liberty and opinion, then that's something we're going to have to answer for to the Lord. And I don't know, for me, that's not something I want to have a bad conversation about with the Lord. It's not something that's super high up on my to-do list. Matter of fact, it's not on my to-do list at all. I don't want to have any difficult conversations with the Lord. I would rather have really, really good ones. So he's just trying to get a point across. He's using this area of freedom to get us to understand what it's like to be more like him. I mean, in regard to how we love, how we have peace, how we exercise self-control in all things. These are the types of things that he's trying to get across to us. When we lead with love, and we recognize it's not something that's really super important, then we'll gladly give up things that we have freedom to do for the sake of loving our brethren, for the sake of helping somebody else out. That's what God's really trying to get us to understand. That's what he wants us to do. So we're going to pick back up in verse number 13, and we'll see how far we get. He says, "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way." So he says, look, we're going about this. He's telling the, Romans, we're kind of going about this all wrong. We're not supposed to judge each other when we have differences. What we are supposed to make sure that we don't do is put a stumbling block in somebody else's way. Now remember, what he's talking about with stumbling block, offense, all of those different types of things, are doing things in front of other people that they don't have the faith to do. That if they were to do it, for them it would be sinful. They would suffer shipwreck in their faith. So he says, let's not judge each other for what they believe, because you're judging them on what they're doing. Instead, focus on what you're doing. Isn't that just great advice in life? It's really great advice in life. You ever known those people who are like real busybodies and they get involved in everybody else's business? They get involved in everybody else's business, and in their own business, they don't take care of it because they're too busy getting involved with everybody else. God's saying, we don't need to be like that. Now notice what he says in verse 14. We hit verse 13 a little bit last week. Now this is a provocative statement. "I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." That's a pretty provocative statement. Because what he just said is that nothing in and of itself is unclean. Now that word for unclean means profane or common. It doesn't always mean something negative. Like back in Acts chapter 2, when it says that the early Christians had all things in common. That word for common is what he means there. So depending on the context determines if it's a positive or a negative thing. So here, he's obviously talking about it being a negative thing, because like I said, it can also mean profane. And he's saying nothing in and of itself, and the emphasis is on that word itself, is unclean. In other words, nothing is intrinsically unclean. It's all inanimate. It depends on how it's used. Good example, guns. We'd be one of the first to say, guns don't kill people, people kill people, right? We would say that. And a gun is a tool. You can use it to put food on your table. You can use it to defend yourself or your family. Or you could use it in a very heinous and evil way. I mean, we just saw this last week. Somebody can use a big pickup truck to either get somewhere or go down Bourbon Street in New Orleans and kill 10 people or however many that are dead. It's a tool. It doesn't have a will. And that's essentially what Paul is saying here. Nothing is unclean intrinsically. It depends upon the motive and the usage of the individual as to how it's going to be operated. But if a person thinks something is unclean or profane, what does he say? To him, it is unclean. Notice what he doesn't say. Let's say Brian has a problem with meat sacrificed to idols. And Brian thinks that meat sacrificed to idols is profane. To him, meat sacrificed to idols is what? It's unclean. It's profane. Now, if he wants to think that meat sacrificed to idols is unclean for me, he doesn't have that right. So don't even try it. You see my point? What Paul is saying is that it's unclean to the person. They don't have a right to make it unclean for everybody else. That's how Christianity works. No one has a right to take an opinion and force it on somebody else. That is not the way this works. But unfortunately, for so many things, that happens. It's not the biblical way to do things. Now, we need to make sure, we're going to see some instructions here in a little bit. We have to make sure we handle these things very properly. And he's going to give some groundwork as to how that's done. But I find it really interesting. In and of itself, intrinsically, nothing's unclean. Just keep that in mind, because this isn't the only time Paul says stuff like this. He says it, let's go to 1 Corinthians 10 for a second. Let's just cover our bases. Verse 23. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. And then let's head over to chapter 6, 1 Corinthians. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. See, so there he uses two different concepts. One is edifying and profitable, and another one is being mastered by something. It's the same concept that he's talking about in Romans 14. Nothing is unclean in and of itself. But if I don't have the faith to participate in something, or if I don't have the faith that something is clean, if I view it as unclean, for me it is. And you know what? That's okay. I don't have to approve of anything. I don't have to approve of everything. I could say, you know what? Where I'm at right now, meat sacrifice to idols is not a good idea. I don't have the faith that I can do it and not have a defiled conscience. So I'm, to me, that's unclean, and that's okay. And we should all be okay with that. But then if I say meat sacrifice to idols is okay, we should all be okay with that too. Because that's exactly what Paul says in the beginning of the chapter, right? I'm not supposed to judge the person who doesn't. Person who doesn't think it's okay isn't to look at me with contempt if I think it is okay. Now look what he says in verse 15. I'm sorry, back in Romans 14. Not sure if I said that. Back in Romans 14, verse 15. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. This is one of the foundational principles that's laid out in regard to liberty. And I love the way Paul states it. He says, but if because of food your brother is hurt, you're no longer walking according to love. What is food? It's silly. It's ridiculous. Why would we take something like food and hurt a brother or sister in Christ? Why would we take something like food and destroy them with it? In other words, these things, these opinions, these matters of liberty are not important enough to destroy someone's soul. So we give people freedom to believe what they want, but then we check our freedom at the door so that we don't hurt people if that's what's needed. It's really a simple thing, isn't it? When you weigh these things out, the soul of a brother and sister, maybe they should be more mature than what they are. But if they're not, do we still go ahead and do stuff that's going to trip them up? No. Do we try to help them? Sure. But is our freedom worth somebody else possibly losing their soul? How in the world can we stand before God and justify that? There's no way. Well, you know, that steak smelled really good. Just had to have it. I was really hangry. I hadn't eaten all day. I needed something. Well, your brother saw that and he went back into idol worship. Well, that's his fault. That's his responsibility. God says, no, you bear some responsibility too. Ooh. We bear responsibility for what other people do. Sometimes. In regards to stuff like this? Absolutely. In regard to things that are not essential? Look, if somebody trips up over the concept that immersion is necessary for salvation, and that if you're not immersed in faith in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, that they're not in Christ, if someone trips up over that, there's nothing I can do about that. Because that's what the Bible says. If someone gets tripped up that there's no such thing as a sinner's prayer, I'm sorry, that's what the Bible says. I can't do anything about that. But if it's some peripheral thing, we got to be really careful with it. Now, I'm not saying that we, you know, someone who comes in who is a professional victim in regards to conscience and opinion and liberty, and is always offended by everything, that's always trying to put someone else into bondage and will not be taught. Well, let's leave that to people who have some experience in dealing with that. You know, we don't necessarily have to go around correcting everybody all the time, but you know, there's folks that can handle that. But if we've got relationship and we've got an opportunity to chat with them and talk about these things in a constructive, edifying way, absolutely. We all know those people who are professional victims who are constantly offended by everything. That's not conducive to a free congregation. Let's put it that way. But he uses that word for destroy there, and that word can also mean kill. Let's not kill with your food him for whom Christ died. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? He then goes on to say, therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. Remember what he said, you know, if be thoroughly convinced in your own mind. Have no problem with that. But don't let what's good for you be spoken of by as evil because of how you do it, how you wield it. We have to be really cautious and careful about these types of things. And then in verse 17, he brings a really fine point to it. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This goes along with what we've been talking about first hour. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. You boil Christianity down, it's not that. Well, what is it? It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the main motivation for us in our interaction with each other. Righteousness, joy, or righteous peace and joy. Do you think if one person's judging another one and one person's viewing another person with contempt, that there's a lot of peace and joy going on in those relationships? No, not at all. See, one thing I really love about our group And I don't know why it is, but I mean, I kind of do, but I really like it that we tolerate each other pretty well. Except for Jeremiah. We tolerate each other pretty well. I mean, Dale by himself should be enough to cause a lot of people to react. You've caused a lot of people to react, haven't you, Dale, over the years? Not here, in other places. You've told me stories. So have I. Look, I get it. Like, I even think it came up in the podcast episode. That's podcast episode's going to be released this week, by the way. First one. So, got it recorded. It's all edited. I just have to watch it. We'll throw it out there. But, you know, I even mentioned that in there. You know, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I get that. Jeremiah is gracious enough to do this stuff with me, and I bet he wishes half the time that he didn't, because he says a very nice thing about me. He uses a nice word. He says I'm very particular. And yes, that's a nice way to say it. That's a nice way to say it. I, unfortunately, with some areas of my life, my OCD is worse than his, and this is one of them. Yep, he's nodding his head. Yep, it can be pretty bad. It can be pretty bad sometimes. But I just want to put out a good product. That's all. So, but we tolerate each other pretty well. And we tolerate the differences, what we approve of, really well too. We don't major in minors. We focus on the things that are essential. and the other things. And we can even, and I've noticed this, we can even have discussions about them and people don't get all bent out of shape. That's a really good thing. That's how we sharpen each other. That's how we encourage each other. That's how we get each other to think. But on the essentials, we're right down the line. We will not deviate from those things. Ever. And I appreciate that tremendously. Because we understand the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking or any of the other areas of liberty. But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. These other things are not important. Now he says in verse 18, "For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men." See, if we understand that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, and if we approach each other that way, a person who does that, who serves Christ in this way, is acceptable to God and approved by men. They're not a busybody trying to be divisive. They give people the ability to be themselves, to have the opinions that they have. We run the gamut with a lot of different things. You know, we could dive into politics. And I know a lot of us are fairly similarly minded, but some of us have different views on how things operate. That's okay. That's okay. And we tolerate each other pretty well with that. And then verse 19. So then, this is the last point that I want to make today. This is our approach to liberty. This is the principle that matters the most in this whole thing. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace in the building up of one another. In all of our relationships with each other, in all of our relationships with the world, in the way that we respond to the essentials, and the way that we respond to the non-essentials, to opinion and liberty. We pursue, chase after the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. I love peace. I don't like conflict. I don't like contention. I try to do everything I can to avoid those. In the church, especially. Especially when it comes to a non-essential thing. We all don't function the same way. Which is really weird because people have a tendency to think that all Christians are, you know, to be like Christ, we're all going to be very the same in how we operate, how we talk, how we look. Not necessarily. If you look and really dive into the different characters that we see in the Bible, you could tell some of them are very, very different. You know, for instance, I don't think many people would like Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a hard man. It was his way or the highway. He didn't ask for opinions. He didn't tolerate them. He told people, this is what you're going to do, and this is how it's going to get done. We've got a job to get done, and it's going to happen fast. I don't care what you think, and I don't care about your feelings. I think a lot of people would struggle with him. And then you got different people who weren't anywhere near as hard as him. The Apostle Paul is a good example. In person, very gentle, very meek. You see, we don't have to be twins. But what we do need to do is pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. If we just focus on that, everything else takes care of itself. If there's some essential things that we got to take care of, we take care of it. If it's non-essential, and it's a matter of opinion and a matter of preference, hey, there's a lot of room for that. There's a lot of room for that. I personally think as we end, I personally think, just this is my hunch. That this is one of the greatest opportunities we have to share what the church is really supposed to be to the world. Because we've got people from all different walks of life, different socioeconomic levels, different cultures, all different kinds of areas. I'm talking about the church as a whole. And that we can go and have fellowship with people that are completely united on the things that the scripture says to be united on. And in the areas of freedom, are completely united on that as well. And what I mean by that is this. That you can have different preferences, different ways of doing things. And I'm going to love you. I'm going to be at peace with you. And I'm going to build you up regardless. How beautiful is that? That is not the world. I mean, yesterday, Joe Biden gave George Soros the Presidential Medal of Freedom. One of the most evil men on the face of the earth, who is responsible for dividing more people than you can possibly imagine. His entire life has been about dividing and conquering nations. And somehow, him along with Hillary Clinton and Magic Johnson got the Presidential Medal of Freedom. See, that's the world. That's the world. This is how we're known. This is how we get to show the people who God really is. God is not this authoritarian dictator who wants to govern every aspect of your life in any way, shape, or form. We have freedom on how we serve, what we do, where we live, what careers we have, all different kinds of things. We have freedom in these regards. There are essentials that we believe, and there are essentials that have to be the motives that we have. But then we have grace. God, in fact, he actually states it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're all different in the body, aren't we? We all have different roles. We all have different parts. And we all work together for the edification and building up of the body. He's not designing us to be clones. He's designing us to have the character of him while maintaining our individual freedom. And that's where the church gets to really shine. So I just want to encourage us, guys, to continue doing that, to dig deeper in our lives and figure out how can I do this better? How can I build on these concepts and figure out how to get better at doing these very things. Because the better we get, the more light we shine.